The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Time to take back control of your life and start making choices based on what your true self and intuition are telling you. Welcome to Shining Bright with your host, Regina Sisko. If you are one of the many people that deserve a better life and more fulfillment than what they are living now, the next hour will be enlightening, inspirational, and above all, will provide the direction you need. Now, here is your host, Regina Sisko.
Hello, I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and welcome to my show, Shining Bright, A Journey from Self-Doubt to Self-Worth. So this week, I wanted to share something with you that I read earlier in the week that I found kind of interesting. And this comes from Steve and Barbara Rother, and their website is called lightworker.com. And this particular information comes from their Beacons of Light section. So Steve and Barbara are teachers, metaphysical teachers of all sorts of interesting things, and they also channel an entity called the group and share some very interesting information. So the information that they were talking about this week are the solar flares that are taking place. And solar flares are coming from the sun, and they're actually magnetic waves of energy. And they are reprogramming the Earth, but also our physical bodies. So I wanted to share a little excerpt of what I read this week. So humanity is now moving at the speed of love, which is a slightly faster than the speed of light. What is taking place at this time is that all of humanity and the planet itself are starting to go through a birthing process. We have mentioned before that the Earth is not sick, she is pregnant. Earth is giving birth to a new form of human, for you have evolved past your current physical housing for your spirit. The bubble of biology, which houses every spirit, is challenged keeping up with the vibrational growth. There are events taking place within the Earth herself and throughout the cosmos that will create opportunities for you to carry much more of your own light than you ever dreamt possible. You have disconnected yourself from home long enough to pretend to be a human, and yet you still have the essence of who you are in that body. Many times you look at the body and say, "That's strange. I wonder how I got here. I wonder what this means." Your body has often fought you as you tried to move forward. It seems like many of you have actually been dragging your body around with you for most of your lives, sometimes just trying to make it work with you to hold your spirit for a time. And I don't know about you, but I have felt like that on occasion. And we see the challenges with that, but there are different events that are now underway that will help to clear much of this energy. Many of you are now consciously releasing your old templates, letting go of some of your old belief systems about who you truly are and who you thought you were. This has been very helpful and enabled many to move forward. But now the solar flares have begun, and everyone on Earth will feel this. We do not call them solar flares, as they are very similar to what you experience as a magnetic bath. Huge waves of magnetism are coming in and stretching your own magnetic boundaries. They are moving your own ley lines of planet Earth, which are shifting as this energy comes in. During those times, they are stretched out of shape and your ley lines on an emotional level lose their anchoring. Animals tied into the magnetic grids of Earth may lose their way and often find themselves stranded. It's as if, almost as if no one is on solid ground anymore. Please be aware that most human reaction is experienced through magnetism. Reactionary mechanisms originate from the emotional body, which has caused some challenges in the past. So this is really a whole lot of energy coming in. And so here's a suggestion for you, because this is what I have done, is I've asked my guides and angels for help. One, in being open to receive this energy and for my energy field to expand easily and to integrate this new energy easily. And a couple other things that I like to do also is just drink extra water and keep yourself grounded into the earth. And you can do that energetically, drinking water, being outside in nature. So I thought that was pretty interesting stuff. And again, the website is called lightworker.com, and I'll also be putting it on my website for you to take a look at. And now it's time to breathe. We're going to take 3 deep breaths in and out. Feel free to join me if you like. And I'm taking a deep breath in and slowly breathing out through my mouth. And I'm taking another deep breath in and slowly breathing out through my mouth. And taking one more deep breath in and slowly breathing out through my mouth. Okay. And my show today is on tips on how to date your mate with my guest, Sheila Dean, relationship coach. And she's going to be sharing tips from her book, Frequent Foreplay Miles, Your Ticket to Total Intimacy. And let me share some information with you about Sheila. Sheila Dean is a relationship happiness coach and speaker. She has counseled more than 2,000 couples since 1983 and is the author of Frequent Foreplay Miles, Your Ticket to Total Intimacy, a guide to improving intimacy for couples. Sheila began studying the dynamics of personal relationships during her 2-decade career as an estate and family attorney before retiring from law to begin coaching in 2004. Her unique blend of humor, insight, and practical meat and potatoes approach helps couples find a better way to navigate the friendly and sometimes not so friendly skies of life while having a darn good time doing it. To learn more about her services and to order her book, go to her website at www.sheiladean.com, and that's S-H-E-L-A-D-E-A-N.com. Welcome to the show, Sheila.
Thank you, Regina. It's great to be here.
So tell us about your background. I just read a little bit here in your bio of being an attorney, but how you evolved to becoming a relationship coach.
Well, you know, when a lot of people, when they hear the phrase attorney as relationship coach, they think it's a bit of an oxymoron, because most people don't think of attorneys as facilitating relationships. But, you know, the area of law that I practice was estate planning and family law. And in estate planning, you have very long relationships with your clients. As their life changes, their will needs to change and their trust and their estate plan needs to change. So it's a very long relationship and a very close relationship, because clients have to often tell me things that are very personal. For example, that they have a child who's abusing drugs or is married to someone who is abusive or a spendthrift. So you have a very personal relationship. And I felt that to really serve my clients well, I needed to fully understand the dynamics of relationships. And also I wanted to, you know, have the best relationship myself that I could have. So I set about on a course of studying and reading everything I could get my hands on. And before long, I was counseling clients on personal things as much as on legal things. It was felt like a natural transition for me.
Mm-hmm. And I think what the common thread is there is that establishment of trust that you need to have with your clients.
Well, that's right. They needed to really trust me. I mean, I would have clients tell me things like, please don't tell our kids that we've never actually gotten married. I had one couple that said, please don't tell our children, but we were divorced and then we remarried again. And so there are things that they feel they need to tell me to make sure that I can protect them legally, from a, you know, tax and legal perspective that they didn't want their families to know, or they would have to tell me things that were very embarrassing and very painful. Things like, you know, their children being drug addicts or having special needs of some sort. And so, yeah, trust is a big, big part of that area of law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can certainly see that. Mm-hmm. So I'd also like you to tell us about how this concept of the frequent foreplay miles came about in your relationship, because I think it's such an ingenious concept.
Well, my husband, who was not my husband at the time, he was my boyfriend, but I had decided this guy is a keeper because I thought he was just about as perfect as a man can get. And in fact, I've never really changed that opinion. But he had one flaw that just drove me crazy, and that he has no sense of time. I'm an A, he's a B, and time doesn't mean much to him. But it drove me crazy that he would be late. And I found myself, you know, saying, you're always late, he's always late, and really getting kind of a chip on my shoulder about the whole thing. So I had tried gentle suggestions, I'd nagged him a little bit, and nothing seemed to really get the message across, and I knew I needed to communicate, you know, how I really felt about it. So one day I said to him, honey, there's something you need to know about being in a relationship, and that is foreplay is all day, every day, 24/7. It's everything you do that affects how I feel about you. So here's an idea for you. Why don't you try racking up some frequent foreplay miles by being on time, and the more you have, the happier I'll be. Now, honestly, Regina, I don't know that the phrase frequent foreplay miles just popped into my mind. I hadn't even thought about it before I had this engaged in this conversation with him. And I think, you know, we were big frequent flyer mile collectors because we love to travel. So it just seemed like a natural transition. And we laughed a lot about it, but we realized later, you know, this has some legs to it. If you really pay attention to racking up frequent foreplay miles with your sweetheart and also pay attention to not losing them, you're just bound to have a happier relationship. So from that little playful exchange, the whole concept of frequent foreplay miles for having greater intimacy developed.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's such, as I said, an ingenious concept, because it kind of, my visual with it, it kind of is like dangling a carrot.
Mm-hmm.
Out in front of you. It's like, oh, okay. What can I do now? What new choices can I make? Or let me be more aware of my choices and how I'm expressing myself.
Well, you know, when we first started this, we had a lot of fun with it until it just became so integrated into our lives. But, you know, if he took out the trash, he would say, do I get freaking foreplay miles for this? Or if I made him a tuna fish sandwich, it'd be like, and I don't cook, so this was a big deal to make him a sandwich, was like, how many frequent foreplay miles do I get for this? And, you know, it becomes fun to see how can I, we all like to win. We all like to get awards. And so the idea of being able to win frequent foreplay miles just became a fun game for us.
Mm-hmm. So then tell us a little bit more about the frequent foreplay miles. But you know what? Actually, it's going to be time for us to head to a break, so I'm going to have you tell us when we come back.
Okay.
So I'm speaking to Sheila Dean, relationship coach and author of Frequent Foreplay Miles, Your Ticket to Total Intimacy. You can learn more about her services and buy her book at www.sheiladean.com. And we'll be right back after the break.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Regina Sisko is accepting applications for new clients. Her unique combination of spiritual life coaching and theta healing creates amazing results. Through the Creator's energy, she is able to clear doubts, beliefs, old ruts, and patterns that are holding you back from living the life that you deserve. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com to read testimonials from her clients who share their heartfelt results. Here are a few now. Regina has a unique combination of providing practical tools to help you in your daily life and soulful insights to help guide you on your path. She is the best of the best, Ellen from Denver. Every time I come to see Regina, I feel down and negative. Every time I leave my session with her, I feel lighter, clearer, and positive. I'm ready to conquer the world. Jeanette from Denver. Regina creates a safe, open, and nurturing space, allowing for deep sharing and healing to occur. Act now to move forward on your journey to your true self with Regina. Spaces fill quickly. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com/contactregina to apply.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
This is Shining Bright with Regina Sisko. If you have a question or a comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's Seventh Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and we are speaking with Sheila Dean, relationship coach, who is sharing tips about how we can earn frequent foreplay miles to create deeper intimacy in our relationships. So, Sheila, if you can give us like a good explanation of the frequent foreplay miles, and how do you actually get points?
Well, you know, the first thing I'd like to point out is that couples, people, just it's human nature to keep score. And, you know, we're not supposed to tit for tat. That's just death to a relationship. But human beings qualify by quantifying. If we're trying to decide whether to buy a house, buy a new car, get a pet, or stay in a relationship, we add up the pluses and deduct the minuses to see which way the scales tip. And in a relationship, it happens subconsciously, but we're giving and deducting points all the time. And it goes something like this. Your sweetheart brings you coffee in bed, +5. It follows a wild and crazy night of sex, 30-point bonus. Your sweetie leaves a wet towel on the bed, -5. It's your side of the bed, -10. It's the third time this week, -50. You know, we don't generally give point value, but we give weight to those things that mean something to us. So the first thing you have to realize is that we do keep score in a way. And so if we're mindful of that and we're mindful of always wanting to score points, then we're going to be more mindful of doing things that resonate with our partner, and we're going to be more aware of what we're doing. You know, John Gottman, who has studied marriage for years, talks about making deposits into your love bank. Well, from my perspective, that sounds like an obligation. I mean, it's a good thing to do, but it sounds like it's something I have to do. Whereas winning frequent foreplay miles, we all like to win things. And so doing something where you get a positive reinforcement just feels good. And so while earning frequent foreplay miles and making deposits into your love bank may have the same result, emotionally, in my mind, they're a different thing, and that earning frequent foreplay miles is just fun. So basically the philosophy is this: earn as many as you can and lose as few as possible.
Yep, that's a good motto.
You're right. For in any relationship. By the way, this applies to frequent friend miles, frequent family miles, frequent fill-in-the-blank miles. I mean, really, mm-hmm. It's any relationship you have, if you just stop long enough to think, how can I win a few points here, you're going to be more likely to think before you speak and look before you leap.
Exactly. So in the book, you describe a time when you and your husband were having some financial difficulties. How did this system help you to improve your relationship or even kind of get through that rough patch?
Well, you know what happened, Regina, is that we did suffer financial setback that led to a fairly disruptive upheaval in our lives. And what we noticed one day is that we were becoming more distant. I mean, my husband and I are talkers. We vie for airtime. You know, we're always chatting and talking. And one day I realized that, you know, we're not talking anymore. We're awfully quiet. And so we talked about it and said, you know, we need to really pay attention to pulling us back together before we get too far apart. But what was really important and what we really noticed is that we already had a habit of being kind and nice to each other. So we had this huge stockpile of goodwill, if you will, and that we continued to do that out of habit more than anything, so that when we really wanted to pull back together, we didn't have a lot of, you know, negative stuff to overcome. We simply said, wow, we really need to be paying attention to taking care of each other. So our focus on how we earned frequent foreplay miles changed. You know, in happy days, you do it by doing things for each other, by being playful, by having fun. But in times when you're really struggling with a trauma or an upheaval in your life, you earn frequent foreplay miles by really being careful and caring for the feelings of your sweetheart. So what we found is when we really paid attention to that it pulled us back together again, and we really knitted emotionally again instead of unraveling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Because it seems to me, you know, a lot of people are going through a lot of ups and downs in life and a lot of challenging situations, especially in their long-term relationships. And everybody wants, you know, total intimacy in a relationship. But when these challenges occur, it seems like, you know, as your example was saying, that the relationship can be strained.
Yeah, and people also have a tendency to turn inward. Because, and that's what happened with my husband Dale and me, is that we, instead of reaching outward to each other, we tend to turn inward with our feelings of guilt and recrimination and regrets over decisions we had made that put us in that difficult situation. And the more you turn inward, the more apart you become. And so when people are going through a tough time, what they really need to do is turn towards each other. When you're caring for somebody else's feelings, it's a different focus than when you're really focusing on how bad you feel and how your regrets. It elevates your thinking to a more, I don't want to use the word positive, but to a more constructive way of thinking. I cared about my husband and his feeling bad about himself. He cared about me and my feeling bad about myself. And so our desire was to make each other feel better. And in the doing of that, we healed ourselves. The other thing I think I want people to think about in a long-term relationship is that we really need to be more like we were when we were dating. And I've always said, and this is the subject of my new book, Redate Your Mate, is that when we're dating is to marriage what foreplay is to sex. Dating is the seduction phase of a relationship. Unfortunately, we subconsciously think that once courtship has been successful, we don't need to be seductive anymore. Once we put the ring on the finger and the deal is done, we sigh in relief, and that's the end of the story. But as divorce statistics prove, marriage is a choice we make every day. So when you engage in emotional foreplay, which is what we do when we're dating, every phone call, every gift, every thinking of you is emotional foreplay designed to make our sweetheart fall in love with us. If we do continue to do that when we're married, then we give our sweetheart a reason every day to want to be with us. And it's not difficult. You just wake up in the morning and say, what can I do today to make my sweetheart's day a little nicer, a little easier, and I can pick up some frequent foreplay miles. And when you're really paying attention to that, you stay bonded even in the difficult times. So the key really is to focus outward, not inward.
I think that's a wonderful suggestion, because I think that is kind of our human nature and our automatic reaction.
Well, it is. We want to slink away and lick our wounds like a wounded puppy. But what we really need to be doing is reaching out to others. And the other thing that happens is when we're in that situation, like a wounded puppy, you tend to snap at that extended hand rather than, you know, lick it. And what we really need to do is consciously, behave in a way that welcomes our sweetheart into our life to help us get through the tough times. Because really, that's what you're there for, to be stronger in numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in your book, you've got a term called foreplay navigators. And tell us about those.
Yeah, that's the shorthand term that I use to describe everything that makes us tick. You know, oftentimes you'll hear people say, well, in my book, this is the way things are. Well, we all have a book, and it's the sum total of our life's experiences, our DNA, our education, our preferences, our sensibilities. In a way, it's our personal guidance system. It's the guide by which we determine our own behavior, and it's the standard by which we judge others. Unfortunately, we don't have identical guidance systems, or the term I use in a relationship is a foreplay navigator. A couple's foreplay navigators are going to overlap in fundamental ways, or they're not going to be a couple in the first place. They're also going to differ in a zillion different ways, which is why it's so easy for couples to butt heads and step on each other's toes and get their wires crossed. So the foreplay navigator is just my shorthand term of saying, this is what makes me tick, and this is what makes my sweetheart tick. And the more you know about each other's foreplay navigators, the easier it is to be responsive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are really great tools. Of course, I was reading the book. So part of the foreplay navigators in this process, something that you refer to in the book is the dumb stuff. Can you tell us about that and share an example of that and how to navigate it?
You know, I use the dumb stuff as a shorthand term for the little things that we tend to suffer in silence. And we do it a lot. For example, he says the rice is salty and she hears you're a terrible cook. But she doesn't say anything because it's, you know, we're trained to pick our battles or to not be, to not complain about every little thing, right? So we go through life suffering these little misunderstandings when what we really need to do is open up and say, hey, are you saying I'm a terrible cook? And then you're probably going to say, well, no, that's not what I meant. All I meant was the rice is salty. And, you know, we have our own filters that we hear everything, like low self-esteem, and lack of confidence. I'll give you a great example of what I call constructive candor, and I think we were going to get to that a little bit later, but I'll give you this example now. I worked with a couple who were newlyweds, and we were doing the frequent foreplay mile strategy, and one part of that is that you keep what I call a tracker, where you write down things that happen. So one of the things that she was tweaked about, where he lost frequent foreplay miles, is that she felt insulted because she had offered to help him teach a class. They're both teachers, and she had offered to help him teach his class, and he had said, no, thank you. Now, what she heard was, you're not competent to teach his class. What he meant was, I really don't want to spoil your day off. Well, if they had never discussed that, she would have spent her whole life being hurt because he said she was incompetent, at least that's what she heard, and he would be patting himself on the back for being thoughtful. That's the dumb stuff. And that's the stuff that we can't let sit and fester because it's the stuff that grudges and resentment are built on.
Yes, and I agree, and that's such a great example. And it's time for us to go to break. I'm speaking to Sheila Dean, relationship coach and author of Frequent Foreplay Miles. You can learn more about her services and buy her book at www.sheiladean.com. And we'll be right back after the break.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? How do I get there? If you're searching for the answers to these and other spiritual questions, you can look within. And you can tune into The Open Door. Our program will expand your awareness of the teachings of the Ascended Masters, offer you practical tools that promote self-mastery and personal freedom, and provide an unerring pathway for graduating from Earth Schoolroom. The Open Door, with host Tom Schumacher and Terry Kennedy, is broadcast live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Regina Sisko is accepting applications for new clients. Her unique combination of spiritual life coaching and theta healing creates amazing results. Through the Creator's energy, she is able to clear doubts, beliefs, old ruts, and patterns that are holding you back from living the life that you deserve. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com to read testimonials from her clients who share their heartfelt results. Here are a few now. Regina has a unique combination of providing practical tools to help you in your daily life and soulful insights to help guide you on your path. She is the best of the best. Ellen from Denver. Every time I come to see Regina, I feel down and negative. Every time I leave my session with her, I feel lighter, clearer, and positive. I'm ready to conquer the world. Jeanette from Denver. Regina creates a safe, open, and nurturing space, allowing for deep sharing and healing to occur. Act now to move forward on your journey to your true self with Regina. Spaces fill quickly. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com/contactregina to apply. Be visionary. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Is Shining Bright with Regina Sisko. If you have a question or a comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's Seventh Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and we are speaking with Sheila Dean, relationship coach, who is sharing tips on how we earn frequent foreplay miles to create deeper intimacy in our relationships. And Sheila is graciously willing to give away her free book, Frequent Foreplay Miles, Your Ticket to Total Intimacy. And the first person to call in at 866-472-5795 will win Sheila's book. So Sheila, another interesting concept that you have in the book is called the Foreplay Back Pocket Guide, Four Simple Questions to Assess Any Situations. So can you kind of give us an overview of that?
Sure. You know, one of the things that we really need to do in a relationship is learn to think before we speak and also learn to look before we leap. And what I find is that what I call the foreplay back pocket guide are just four little simple questions that we can use to assess any situation that's going to help guide us into the right place. Because no matter how well we know our partner, the fact is we never really can know 100% what their foreplay navigator reads. In fact, we don't even know ourselves sometimes what makes us tick. So while we want to be responsive to our partner, we don't always know how to do that. So I've devised these four questions, and you best they're best remembered with the acronym LAND, which stands for Lock, Ace, Navigate, and Do. So the first question is, how can I lock in frequent foreplay miles? And I think, Regina, the best way to describe this is to give an example of how this might work in real life. Is that okay?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Great. Okay. One couple I worked with, Rod and Elaine, had a situation come up where Rod had been married to Claire for about 20 years before they divorced and he married Elaine. And Rod was close to his very large family. And, of course, you can imagine that after 22 years of being married to Claire, they automatically said, Rod and Claire, Rod and Claire, Rod and Claire. So they were constantly calling Julie by the wrong name, Elaine by the wrong name. So one day they're on their way to an event, and she said, you know, Rod, I have to and I do remember all of their names. Why can't they remember one, mine? Well, what happened is he said, oh, come on, you know they don't mean anything by it. I really wish you wouldn't take it so personally. And she immediately shut down. If he had taken a moment to say, okay, what can I do to win some points here? He's going to be far more likely to assess the situation rather than give a knee-jerk response and say, you know what, you're right. I'll speak to the worst offenders and ask them to be more aware. So that was a perfect example of how can I win some points here?
Mm-hmm.
Makes you stop and think about the best way to handle the situation in a way that's most likely to resonate with your partner rather than just a knee-jerk reaction.
Yes. Yeah, that's a really good example. And then the next question is, how can I help my sweetheart ace frequent foreplay miles? Can you give us an example?
Let's go back to this original example that I just gave. Julie let this go on, or Elaine, I keep calling her Julie, but Elaine let this go on for almost 2 years before she said anything. And I said, well, why did you let this go on so long? And she said, well, to me it's just obvious that you shouldn't let your family call your wife by the wrong name. To her it was so obvious that Rod should have known and should have taken care of it sooner. She just waited until he never did anything and she finally had to say something. Well, that's just silly. What she should have done 2 years before is help him pick up some points by saying, you know, Rod, this is really starting to wear on my nerves. Would you please talk to your family members and ask them to be more sensitive? You know, no matter how much we love each other, we are not mind readers. You really have to help your partner be responsive. And, you know, if you believe your partner loves you, then you have to believe that your partner wants to do those things to please you. Well, just help. It's the best gift you can give yourself, is to teach your partner, help your partner to become responsive to what you need. So we need to speak up.
Yep, I really agree with that. And I think one of my own examples is you know, we've covered some territory in the relationship. And for me, I will think that similar situations have occurred and I'll think, well, how come he doesn't know that? You know, we've experienced something like this before. Well, just because I'm thinking that doesn't mean he's thinking that.
you know, we make the mistake of thinking that our thoughts are universal truth, that we have a pipeline into universal truth. And really what we have is differences of perspective. And, great example is that another couple where they met at a vegetarian cooking class, and she made the assumption that he was a vegetarian on moral grounds. In fact, he was a vegetarian on health, for health reasons. And they're sitting watching TV one night, and a spider's crawling down the wall, and she goes to get a little cup to put him outside, and he smashes him with his tennis shoe, and she's horrified because she assumed that her universal truth was that this life was sacred. And he didn't share that point of view, and so they got into a heated argument about this, only to realize that they had different perspectives. So I think it is a mistake to assume that our partner thinks like us, because in point of fact, your partner's a very unique individual who doesn't necessarily see the world the way you do, and we can't assume that. So that's why it's so important that we speak up and say, this is what I need from you. And this is without demanding, you know, without saying this is what you're going to do, but saying, giving information that is truly constructive and allows your partner to be a better partner to you. Because that's what we really all want to do. I want to be a great partner to my husband. So when he tells me he needs something, I'm like, thank you. That's really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I work with a lot of women in my practice, and you know, we're often talk about what I share with them is it's okay to ask for what you want. And a lot of us grew up in an environment and with our parents where that actually was not okay. You know, when you're told to be still and keep quiet.
And be grateful for what you get. And, mm-hmm. yeah, don't make demands. Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Jack Canfield, and one of his success principles is tell the truth sooner. And I think that's a great principle to live by, is just tell the truth sooner. This is what I need. Or that hurt my feelings. You don't have to be critical about it. You can share information in a way that doesn't make people defensive or feel like they're being attacked. You know, if you say, well, you're really a jerk for saying the rice is salty, that's a lot different than saying, wow, I hear that you saying I'm not a very good cook. Is that what you meant? It's all in the presentation, as they say.
Yep, absolutely. And then the next question that ties into your acronym of LOCK, ACE, Navigate, and DO is for navigate. So how can I turn a negative into a positive? And go ahead.
Yeah, this is one of those where we human beings have a negativity bias. It's the fight or flight instinct that's kind of gone amok, because way back in caveman times, we needed to learn from negative experiences, if our ancestors didn't learn from negative experiences, we wouldn't be having this conversation today, because we wouldn't be here. So negative experiences have more stickiness in our brain, and we're still evolved that way. When you couple that with a low self-esteem or the filters through which we see ourselves, it's really easy to hear a negative where none is intended. For example, I'll give you in my own life, my husband painted the bathroom, and he missed a spot, and I pointed out the spot. Now, all he did was say, there's a spot that didn't get paint on it. I had no agenda around it, but what he heard was, you didn't do a good job. And this happens with relentless regularity, and I think what we need to do is consciously train ourselves away from that immediate negative reaction. When, you know, somebody says to you, the rice is salty, it's simply a statement of their opinion that there's too much salt in the rice. It's not a judgment about you as a person or as a cook. So I think what we really need to do is every time we have a negative reaction to something, we need to stop and say, really, isn't there another interpretation of this where my sweetheart doesn't lose frequent foreplay miles? And if you can't think of one, then you need to fall back on that constructive candor that we talked about that says, here's how I'm feeling, and give your partner an opportunity to clarify what he or she intended.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And can you also share an example of your concept of autopilot acting and reacting?
Well, you know, most of us are on autopilot, meaning that we just go through our day without really referencing our own foreplay navigator, because it's just embedded in our psyche. So we behave and we react automatically without really thinking about it. But if you imagine that every pilot in the sky has their plane on autopilot and they're not really paying attention to what's going on, you're going to have a lot of mid-air collisions. And that's what happens when you and your partner are both on autopilot all the time. If you're not in your conscious brain, if you're not thinking before you speak, if you're not looking before you leap, and you're on autopilot, you're bound to be running into each other and having clashes. And we can't, you know, we can't be off autopilot all the time. We don't have the ability to think about everything we say and do before we say and do it. But when it comes to your sweetheart, these questions, this foreplay navigator, or foreplay back pocket guide rather, is designed to help you get off autopilot so you're not going to have collisions, because we really need to be in our thinking brain, not in our intuitive brain or our, you know, our autopilot brain, in order to really be responsive partners.
Right. And it's really being aware.
Yeah, it's being aware, just paying attention to what you're doing consciously and not, being aware, exactly.
And it's time for us to take a break. I'm speaking to Sheila Dean, relationship coach and author of Frequent Foreplay Miles, Your Ticket to Total Intimacy. You can learn more about her services by going to www.sheiladean.com. We will be talking about playfulness in the relationship when we come back from break. We'll be right back.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
What are the benefits to combining modern science with ancient healing practices? For the answers, you'll want to tune into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. Each week, our program focuses on an Ayurvedic lifestyle. By developing new ways of looking at our world, we can find ways to foster harmony and peace for the good of mankind and our planet. If we learn to live and think healthier, we begin to explore and focus on our strengths. Tune into Frame of Mind, Saturdays at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
Regina Sisko is accepting applications for new clients. Her unique combination of spiritual life coaching and theta healing creates amazing results. Through the Creator's energy, she is able to clear doubts, beliefs, old ruts, and patterns that are holding you back from living the life that you deserve. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com to read testimonials from her clients who share their heartfelt results. Here are a few now. Regina has a unique combination of providing practical tools to help you in your daily life and soulful insights to help guide you on your path. She is the best of the best. Ellen from Denver. Every time I come to see Regina, I feel down and negative. Every time I leave my session with her, I feel lighter, clearer, and positive. I'm ready to conquer the world. Jeanette from Denver. Regina creates a safe, open, and nurturing space, allowing for deep sharing and healing to occur. Act now to move forward on your journey to your true self with Regina. Spaces fill quickly. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com/contactregina to apply.
Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Is Shining Bright with Regina Sisko. If you have a question or a comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's Seventh Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and we are speaking with Sheila Dean, relationship coach, who is sharing tips on how we can earn frequent foreplay miles to create deeper intimacy and playfulness and how to date our mate. So the last question that ties to your acronym of LAND is DO. So what can I do so we both get frequent flyer miles? So what would be a good example of that, Sheila?
Oh, well, you know, when you're in a dicey situation, what you need to stop and think about is how can I handle this in a way that we both win? And I'll give you a real quick example. When my husband and I were first dating, we were very much a couple, but we were still getting to know each other. And one day I got a call at my law office from his Dale's sister's boyfriend, who said, what had a legal question for me, and once I answered it, he said, I'll see you on Wednesday. I said, I don't know anything about Wednesday. He said, oh, we're supposed to be at Sarah's house for her birthday. Dale's just forgotten to tell you. So the next time I spoke to Dale, I said, we're supposed to be at Sarah's house for her birthday, and he said, oh, I forgot. I already made plans to get together with my ex-wife to retrieve some stock certificates from her safe deposit box. I said, okay, well, I'm going to a poetry reading that night, so square it with Sarah. Well, the morning rolls around of the party, of the little birthday gathering, and Dale says to me, have fun at your poetry reading. I'm going to kill two birds with one stone and take my ex-wife to my sister's birthday. Well, that didn't go over very well with me, but I stewed about it for a long time, and then finally I picked up the phone and called him and said, I'm not happy about this, but it's only fair for me to tell you that I'm unhappy so that you can decide what it is you want to do. And he immediately stepped up to the plate and said, I just got myself into a box, you know, into a scheduling box, but what do I need to do to make this right? Will you still go with me if I tell Fran that she's not going? And I said, of course. Now, the important point of that story is that I later learned that Dale's sister and his ex-wife were very good friends, but more importantly, had the roles been reversed, Dale wouldn't have cared. Our four-play navigators, this is one of those differences, differed dramatically on this important point. So if I had never told him how I felt about it, he would never have known that, for me, it was not okay that he do that. So that's a perfect situation where even when you think that your sweetheart, as I did, was being a complete lunkhead, you still need to say, how can I handle this in a way that we both win?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a way that's gracious, and I really love the way that you handled that.
Well, I was really glad retroactively because when I discovered that really he felt he wouldn't have cared. If I'd said, I'm taking my ex to my brother's little birthday thing, he would have said, have fun, see you later. He just wouldn't have cared because he didn't feel threatened by that. He had a very cordial relationship with his ex. She was still very close to his family. It was a perfectly normal thing for him to do, but I just didn't know that. And once I communicated to him how I felt about it, he was like, well, perfect. What do I need to do to make this right with you? So he got a ton of freaking foreplay miles for stepping up to the plate, and I got a ton of freaking foreplay miles for giving him the opportunity to not only step up, but I also let him off the hook for being such a nitwit in the first place. So we both came out ahead on that one.
Yes. So.
Right.
So how do couples keep the new love and playfulness alive? Maybe you can share some tips from your upcoming book, Redate Your Mate.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is that couples need to continue to date after they're married. And by dating, I don't mean an occasional dinner and movie. I mean, dating is a 24/7 state of mind. When you were dating, you were generous, you were positive, you engaged in everyday emotional foreplay. That is, you were racking up frequent foreplay miles at every turn. And I think it's really important for couples to continue that attitude and that state of mind. And one of the ways you can do that is to date and flirt and play with each other. So a quick tip would be for each of you to have an email account that you use only for flirting. Hi, I'm looking forward to our date Friday night. You were fabulous last night. And you know, when you put it in writing, it's a little easier to kind of X-rate it and get really frisky and flirty. And the rule is no PS, don't forget to pick up milk on the way home. The other thing is when you do have date night, I like to tell the guys, get dressed and get out of the house. Go have the car wash, go get your shoes polished, get a haircut, go have a beer, I don't care. But give her time to primp. I mean, we like to get pretty and we want to do it privately. So give your wife time, your girlfriend time to take a bubble bath, to groom, to pick the perfect outfit, and then meet at the door. Even if you're living together, he can ring the doorbell. She opens the door looking beautiful. He can appreciate it. Start the date with a kiss. Don't talk about the same old stuff. End the date with a kiss. And if you end up making out in the car, all the better. So pay attention to being more like you were when you were dating, and I think you're going to find that you got a lot more playfulness in your relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like those tips. That's really fun. And something that, frankly, I wouldn't have thought about.
No, and the other thing is if you have a babysitter, I don't want mom to even talk to the babysitter when you come home. Mom, just go straight upstairs, put your little nightie on, wait for dad to take care of the babysitter, because once mom walks in the house and says, how were the kids? She's back in mom road. And you know what? He's not going to lose his mood. He'll take that babysitter home so fast and be back in a heartbeat. Meanwhile, you've got time to prepare to meet your guy in the boudoir. It adds playfulness there, too.
Wonderful, wonderful suggestions. Well, it's time for me to wrap up the show. And Sheila, thank you so much for being here. You've shared such wonderful, helpful tips, and I love your sense of humor to go along with it.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
And you can learn more about Sheila's services and to buy her book by going to www.sheiladean.com. On my show next week is Kathleen O'Keefe Canabos, and the title of the show is Surviving Cancer Through Her Dreams. Kathleen is a two-time breast cancer survivor. She survived breast cancer by listening to her intuition and her dreams. She was specifically guided and shown in her dreams that the doctors had missed the breast cancer each time it had occurred for her. Kathy is now an advocate and educator to let others know the power of intuition, along with standing in your power when dealing with the medical community, which saved her own life. Kathy will share her powerful story next week on February 24th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And remember to stop by my website at lifestreamholisticcoaching.com to sign up for my free newsletter and get the free gift, How to Be Your Best Self. Thank you so much for listening in. This is Regina Sisko with Shining Bright. From my heart to yours, have a wonderful week.
Thank you again for being part of Shining Bright. Please join your host, Regina Sisko, again next Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. This week, take one more step to leading the life that you deserve.